Welcome to the teaching and preaching ministry of Bishop Michael Fuller, Senior Pastor of Word of Life Tabernacle in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We pray that this message will be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that you may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if you must, please get your pens, your papers, and let's prepare ourselves to hear a word from God. To open the door and let God come in and minister to our life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to take a few minutes in the word, if you will. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. A familiar passage from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. From the Gospel of St. John, chapter 5. I'm going to read just verse 6. For our hearing this morning. And we honor the Lord for each and every one of you being in the tabernacle, being in the house of the Lord. Those of you on virtual church, we thank God for you being in the presence and on the place of God, that you might hear the word of God that be a strength to your life. Amen. But it's not like being in its presence of the saints. Amen. And we praise God for that. Thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. I promise you I'm not going to preach long, but I want to share a few nuggets from this familiar passage as the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart and spirit. Verse 6 of the text, John chapter 5, verse 6. Amen. If you get there, I want everybody to say amen in unison, that to let us know you're there. Amen. At this verse, so that we can read it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? St. John chapter 5, verse 6. Amen. I want us to read this particular verse. I want us to read it in unison so that we can hear the word, amen, being loudly expressed in the atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's read. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Amen. A powerful question of circumstance relating to a person's life. Amen. And I want to talk to you from the subject, I am in the waiting room. Amen. I am in the waiting room. Thank you, Jesus. I bet if we had a testimony service, we would find out how many of us are in the waiting room. Amen. Now, you're not we're in the waiting room because we've been lingering and longing for some things to happen. Amen. For some things to change and transpire in our life. We've been faced with some things that had happened to us so strangely. Amen. And we did not even ask it to come our way. But for whatever case or reason, we found ourselves embedded with situations, amen, that we did not design, nor did we ask for. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about this text the way the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And so we see, amen, the ministry and the power of God in action, how he can come to our rescue, how he can deliver us out of crisis. But I wonder this morning, how many of you feel like you might be in the waiting room? If you've ever gone to the hospital, amen, because you had an injury or an illness, and our assumption would be, when we go to the hospital emergency room, immediately we're going to get some attention. But if you ever been to Cape Fear, Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care if you aching, hurting. Amen. As long as you ain't dying. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You might remain in the waiting room. Anybody been there? Done that? Couple times. Amen. And we, in our mindset, we feel that, okay, if I get here, I know I'm going to get care. If I get to the hospital, surely, amen, somebody going to come see about me. Amen. But then you sign in and have a seat, please. Wait until your name is called. So even in life, we find ourselves still having to wait for certain things to take place. But don't we get impatient? Amen. We become aggravated. And sometimes you get healed while you're in the waiting room. Because you realize your ache is not that important to wait 24 hours. Come on. So you become what? Your personal doctor. Amen. You administer the fact that, you know what, I'm going to just take me some Tylenol or something, and I'm just going to go home. Because I'm tired of what? Waiting. And we are by nature very impatient, because we are in a culture where things must happen quickly in order for us to give it validity to our case. And if we give it a little time and it don't seem like nothing changes over time, we find ourselves becoming impatient with ourselves, and we want it to move quickly. We want the issue to stop immediately. And so we start administering medication to ourselves. Now, you're not even sure. You should even be taking that medicine. And then we are so brave in the sense of the fact that we are so impatient in our waiting that we will cross mix medications. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Somebody might have something you think would be useful to you, and you'll get some of their medication, but it's not prescribed to you. Because we're so tired of waiting. And so here we have this particular case where there are sick folk. Amen. Sick folk who are waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for a move of God. And they need God to move pretty quickly. Because over the course of time, you know, your body becomes frail, and you become accustomed to the fact that, listen, this situation is not quite what I had warranted, nor had I imagined for my life. And I need a change. I need something to transpire to help me to cope and help me to deal with the issue of what I am encountering. And of course, this is a familiar passage, but I want to show you some important nuggets here. And we understand that as these folk were in need, amen, there was this man who was there for 38 years. Now, notice something. There is times when God would allow certain things to linger in your life, causing you to wait on something to happen that you can't do for yourself. How many of us are carrying pains from our past? Amen. Issues, come on somebody, from our cultural or social experiences that has captivated us and imprisoned us to such a degree that we find ourselves carrying the weight of this infirmity. Amen. This emotional issue, this mental issue, whatever the case might be, we find ourselves carrying it from infancy. Amen. Sometimes from our teenage years and to our adult stage, we still find ourselves lingering in time. and you'll still find every now and then things will pop up in your life that you thought were dealt with, but all of a sudden you find out it's still a crippling infirmity. It's an illness. It's something that has been captivated, amen, through generation, the seed that was sown that left you impotent and powerless to move and deal with it on your own. So what did you do? You got somebody to put you by the pool and you just laid there. Some of us, we're just lying in our own experiences and we're content just to allow ourselves to be identified as one who's not able to do or deal with it on our own. But are you tired? Are you ready, amen, to get out the waiting room? Hallelujah. But the thing is, he had sense enough. I saw this here in the text. He has sense enough to know that if I'm in the right area, amen, even though I can't do it for myself, but at least let me get in the right area. Come on, somebody, at least get to the altar and give God the opportunity, hallelujah, to look at my case, to see me, amen. Because when you go into the waiting room, you're waiting patiently for somebody of medical experience and knowledge to come out and acknowledge the fact you are there. See, while he was there, I ain't gonna preach long, amen, because while he was there, amen, lying there, amen, he was waiting for somebody to acknowledge his case. And sometimes we're wallowing and wailing in our circumstance, amen, and watching everybody else move and getting healed and getting delivered. We see other people's issues getting solved. They're coming out of their dilemma, but we find ourselves still lying here wondering, when will we be delivered? When will I stop having pain from my own personal issue that has blocked me and blinded me and impeded my progress? It has stopped me for so long because I've used it for so long as my reason and my excuse of not wanting to do better. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. See, one thing I learned, that you can be in a crisis and you can still keep moving. But if you don't understand, amen, that you got to have a will to fight, you got to have a will to live, you got to have a will to be determined, I will not allow my affliction, my infirmity, my frailty, come on, my mental, emotional, internal issue of life prevent me, stop me, immobilize me. Lord, help me. Because all of us got an excuse of why we will not be able to get into the presence of God's deliverance. Ooh, Jesus, what is your reason today for why you're still dealing with last year's what is your reason that my childhood still invades my memories and still hinders my ability to be free and walk in my deliverance? What is my excuse? Because this man says, well, every time the water is troubled, I have nobody to put me in. Don't you know emotional trauma will cripple you to the degree and the place you can't do nothing for yourself? And what would happen every time you have the ambition to move, amen, the enemy will pop up that thing in your life to give you a reason, amen, because why? He don't want you to be empowered to understand that you have to give power, amen, to your ability to move out, amen, and to come out of your situations. If we were to analyze this more carefully today, we would find out, you know, up for 38 years, I've walked in unforgiveness. I've walked, amen, in a level. Come on. I was bound from childhood, and I walked in that. Lord, help me, somebody. I walked in it for all these years trying to figure out I'm the victim, but I've been making myself a victim of a circumstance I didn't even cause. Come on here, somebody. So I walked in limbo and I was impotent in myself, powerless to believe that I can bring a change. Not believing in myself. Come on, not having confidence, what we call low self-esteem. Come on, not having the ambition, amen, because I'm always, amen, attacked by the enemy who invades my mental capacity, where he creates anxiety and emotional, come on, delusions to make me feel victimized by the things I've gone through. He just wants me to lie there in my affliction. Tell somebody you're going to get up today. Woo. And what was one of the reasons why he, amen, lied there? He used one excuse. I have nobody. And so many times, because we say, well, nobody understands me. Come on, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody see what I'm going through. Nobody act like they want to help me. So guess what? Since nobody see me, nobody want to validate what I'm going through, they'd rather just walk over me, step over me. Amen. Let me stay in the condition that I am in. Well, reach down in the city of yourself. And you got to be determined. Wait a minute. Listen, I'm not going to wait for somebody. But I'm going to be determined, amen. If I'm going to lie here, amen, I'm not going to die here. Oh, Jesus. Somebody said, I got to be determined. And one thing that impressed me about this man was the fact is that God, check this out, God was able to keep him for 38 years while he was going through. Come on, touch your neighbor, say, no, don't touch your neighbor, say, but touch yourself, say, you're not going to die in what you're going through. You might feel like it, you might even want to, but if God got his hand on you, hallelujah, he's going to keep you through the process of time in your life. Sometimes you want to give up, don't we? Because we're tired of the conflict. We're tired of the affliction. And the enemy would be so pleased. And he will help you. Amen. Because he wants you to sit there, amen, in pity party. He wants us to sit there and say, you know what, God, since I've been going through this all this time, I might as well. But God got a way to keep you in your crisis. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But because you're in the waiting room, and I know you had to wait a season. I know you had to wait a while. And every now and then we become so engrossed in our impatience that sometimes we get mad that God don't move as quickly as we think he should. But the fact remains, many of us can testify. I know I can testify, amen, that the enemy would have thought that by the reason of the fact, after 38 years in your infirmity, in your infliction, surely you won't be here no more. But the devil is a liar. God can take you through your crisis and keep you in the midst of it. Preserve you, hold you. Amen. Even though you got all these perplexing moments, amen, you're not fully comprehending what's going on in your life, God still can hold you in your crisis and he can keep you intact until he gets to you. Lord, y'all making me preach here. Woo, somebody say, I'm in the waiting room. See, some of you been in the waiting room a few weeks. Some been in there a few months. Some of you been in there a few years. And you got all these fights and all these mental battles and challenges worn in your mind. Can you imagine what you're going to think for 38 years while you're waiting for God to move in the crisis of your life? Some of y'all ain't been living long yet. Hallelujah. And you still tired already. You got to understand, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. Sometimes you don't even know you're waiting on God. God got you waiting on Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so you're trying to figure things out. You're trying to work things out. I believe there was a songwriter that said, why are you trying to figure it out? God is already. How you gonna pay your rent? All your money spent. Come on, somebody. We try to figure out so many things, right? And I can only imagine, amen, sitting here, amen, trying to figure out how am I going to get myself in the pool? And some of us are figuring out right now, God, how am I going to get myself out of this situation? Oh, let me show you this now. Some situations we're trying to get ourselves out of, God won't let us. Because we're trying to get ourselves out. And God said, unless I get you out. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. And sometimes we ask God, Lord, how long must I bear? How long must I endure the agony? How long, God, must I be frustrated? How long must I be impotent, amen, immobilized and crippled by reason of what I'm encountering in my life? Lord, when you're going to move for me? God said, I'm going to move when you get the right attitude. Uh-oh. I'm going to move when you get the right attitude. Because what Jesus did, he had to test the man's motive to see whether or not he was willing to go to the next step. Sometimes we say, God, I need you to move. But you don't want him to move on you. You want him to move on the situation. But God said, I got to move on you. Because I got to make sure you got the right motive of why you need me to move. So here comes Jesus, amen, asking the man, now, do you want to be made whole? Thank you, Jesus. What do you want? Are you really motivated for me to move in the midst of your crisis? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be set free? And sometimes we have to be honest. Some situations we don't want God to free us from. Oh, Lord, I'd have messed up right there. Because some things you have to admit, you enjoy doing them. Well, preacher, what you mean? Because some things God really want to get you out of, you ain't ready for him to get you out of. Because you still enjoy it. Oh, Lord, help me now, Jesus. You've been bound by drugs and addiction and promiscuous ways and attitude and unforgiveness. All those things have immobilized you and prevented you from really being made whole. And so you ain't really got to the place of being motivated to change. And so every now and then, God has allowed time to work itself out in you. Because over time, you should get tired of dealing with stuff that you know ain't good for you. Over time, you should be willing to cast down the things that you know have been crippling in your life. Oh, yes. Now I'm willing to change my mind. It took 38 years for this man. How many years going to take for you to change your mind? So because Jesus is coming with the question, do you want to be made whole? Then I got to go through my excuse to let you know why I was left here. Hallelujah. You got to understand, brother, sister, some things we put ourselves in. And some things, come on here, somebody. Woo, Jesus. Some things we set ourselves up to get into. Amen. Some things we know that came through demonic influence. Thank you, Jesus. But we got to make sure when we test our motive, what did we allow? I'm talking to us now. What did we allow? Amen. What did we open up ourselves to allow the enemy to come in our lives? What doorway and entry point did we give him to afflict us? Not so much that you are sick physically, but afflicted spiritually to the degree and to the point that we cannot go no further. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. And see, this is our plight because Jesus comes to ask us, what do we need from him? What is it that we want from him? Do we want to be made whole? Do we want to overcome? Come on, somebody. Or are you still conveniently wanting to sit in the waiting room? Because after a while, those chairs get hard. Come on here, somebody. Woo, Jesus. Your derriere, amen. After a while, amen, gets a little weary. And you're going to have to get up and move because the flow has stopped. Come on. The blood flow. And after a while, that's hurting you more than what you came for. So we got to know, how long do I want to stay in the waiting room? What keeps me, amen, from honoring God and his presence? And when he comes to seek after me after such a time, will I be ready for him to set me free? Am I willing to change, amen, from my doubt, from my fear and my unbelief? Because over a period of time, you'll start doubting yourself. Amen. You'll start questioning whether or not you're going to be delivered. Amen. See, when we think of terms of deliverance, amen, there's another word that connects with deliverance, which means sanctification. So sometimes in the process of us dealing with life and dealing with crisis and dealing with issues, God is really sanctifying us. He's washing us, preparing us, amen, making sure our motives are in check, that when he comes to us, that we can respond with the right question, with the right answer, that we can respond in a way that we let God know, I'm no longer going to use excuses. So what I wanted you to tell yourself, I'm not going to let excuses keep me immobile. Who did you use for your excuse? Did you say mama and them didn't teach me nothing? Daddy and them abandoned me? Come on here, somebody. I was assaulted. I was sexually assaulted. I was so many things happened in my life that I felt like I can't live life. So I put myself in prison and I put myself in affliction and I told myself, you lie right here and you won't go no further. But here comes Jesus. Woo. To let you know, you don't have to lie here. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. You don't have to lie here in your mind. Come on, you don't have to be foggy. Clear out the fog. Because your help is in the name of the Lord. Don't use people as your reason to stay bound. But when God comes to rescue you, amen, make sure you follow his instruction. Obviously, the man had thought something and he heard something, because he came to a place when Jesus asked him the question. And now check this out. After 38 years, you would think, okay, I ain't got no more strength to move. I done given up on life. Amen. I done given up on everything. Amen. Because after all this time, you know, it is what it is. But when Jesus asked him the question and he begins to respond, notice what the man did. Hallelujah. So if I want to encourage you, brother, sister, I would tell you that when the Lord commands, respond. Because Jesus told him, take up your bed. Get up. Take up your bed. Walk. In other words, he had to have the mindset to understand what he was being told. And the willingness, after all that time, to get up from where he was. Notice, I'm closing right here. And notice this, that this is the first time he heard somebody come by and told him to get up. So if I hear Jesus tell me, son, daughter, rise up, take up your bed and walk, you better get up. Respond to his command, because that tells me I'm willing, God. Because I tried people, I tried things, amen, the only thing that I wasn't concluded that I was left here. But I heard something for the first time in a long time. I heard somebody come by the pool with a positive word and tell me I can change my circumstance. Jesus, come by and tell me, get up out of this waiting room. You've been in the waiting room all these years. Now it's time for you to get up. I just came to let somebody know, get up out the waiting room. Stop lingering, hallelujah. You done wrote enough notes. You done been on the iPad. You done played your games. Amen. But here comes Jesus saying, get up. Get up from out the waiting room. Now it's time for you to exercise some faith, because now you hear my voice. And the Bible lets us know, when you hear the voice of Jesus, that means something in the atmosphere is getting ready to shift. And I came to prophesy to somebody today that no matter what you've been encountering, no matter what you've been going through, but the word of the Lord is saying, get up out of the waiting room. Tell yourself you're not going to be bound by what you're thinking. You're not going to be bound by what you've been through. You're not going to be bound by the enemy's influence. But when you hear the word of the Lord, you're going to get up out of the waiting room. I'm tired of waiting anyhow. I'm glad that Jesus stopped by to let me know and to let you know that it's time for us to get up off of our excuses and get your mind back. Come on, get your will to live back. Get back your determination that you're not going to close yourself off, but you're going to come on out and move by his word. Move by his command. Get up out of the waiting room. Well, I'm waiting on somebody to fix me some food. I'm waiting on somebody to work it out for me. Jesus said, why are you trying to figure it out? I've already already got it worked out. And so I came to test your motive, to see, are you willing to get up? Now, what would have happened had the man sat there, lay there after he heard the command? Well, he would have stayed in his condition. And so I came to tell somebody, stop lying in your past. Stop lying in your confusion. But you hear the word say, get up out of that waiting room and let the enemy know you should have killed me while you had me. But I heard the word tell me to get up, and the word is life, and therefore I'm going to obey the word and get up out of my situation. I'm going to give the enemy back his stuff. You use it to bind me. You use it to block me. Out of all these years, you had my mind messed up. I didn't think I could live, but I heard. Y'all, I'm getting ready to go in the revival. Y'all got to leave me alone now. But I heard the word of God say, rise up, saints. Rise up. Rise up in victory. Take back what the enemy stole from you. Take your mind back. Take your peace back. Take your healing back. Take your deliverance back. Don't you lie here another year. I won't be immobile, but by my God, I'm getting up. And what surprises the enemy is if you obey God and loose the bonds, break the chains, and get out the waiting room. And when the enemy look in, he say, I thought I had him in the waiting room, but he forgot that you got a word that came from God and say, get up. You must understand, when Jesus say get up, you got to understand what happens when he sends a word to bring deliverance. The angels move swiftly. My delivering angel comes into place, breaks the chains, just like the angel delivered Peter from out of prison. He thought he was having a dream, but it was God that was moving to bring him out. And I'm here to tell somebody that God is moving in the midst of your life to bring you out. But will you move at his command? Will you rise up, take up your stuff, and let the enemy know that my God, I got a word from on high that I don't have to sit here in my defeat. I don't have to sit here another day and allow you to walk all over me. But I'm up now. I'm back now, stronger than ever, better than ever. Can somebody give him a praise for it? That God is getting me out of the waiting room. Do I have a witness that yes, he will? And the thing about it, God reached back 38 years and restored to you the years you lost, and got you back up on your feet. The devil said you'll be defeated, but God reached back 38 years and pulled you forward and said, come on, come on, come on, get on up.
out of that waiting room. The devil think he got you, but you are not defeated. I canceled 38 years of demonic influence, and I'm giving you victory. I gotta leave you, but can you imagine, after being bound for 38 years and then the King of Kings, the Son of the Living God, he reaches back in my life, goes back into my history and counsels me the demonic assignment on my life that kept me crippled all these years, and now I'm coming out of the waiting room, and I'm coming out with the praise on my lips. I'm coming out with joy in my feet, with a praise, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would've been swallowed up by the enemy. I would have gone to the grave, but God, can somebody say Jesus, my Redeemer, he stepped on the scene, canceled that assignment, gave me more time, and say, get up out the waiting room, come on back now, you got the victory, you got the deliverance, don't let the enemy defeat your life, but rise at my command. Somebody say, at the name of Jesus, demons would tremble. At the name of Jesus, you know a dead man got to come out the tomb. At the name of Jesus, demons got to run, because there is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. I'm free. I'm out the waiting room. Jesus is my doctor, and he wrote my prescription. Do you want to be made whole? I ask you, brother. I will ask you, sister. Do you want to be delivered from your past? Do you want to be delivered from the bondages of the enemy? Do you want to be delivered from those things he sent out against you? Do you want to be delivered? If you want to be, then you got to get up like you got some strength. You got to get up like you got some conviction, and thank God for saving you. Thank God you didn't die while you were waiting. Say yeah. Say yeah. Yes. Woo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah, yeah, yeah. Glory. Woo, Shonda. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. I speak to your healing. I speak to your strength. I speak to your deliverance. I speak to your breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. Because one thing I've learned, even while you're going through, you can still give him praise. Still while you're waiting, you can still give him praise. You might can't dance like me, but you can wave your hand. You can slide your foot. You can do something to let God know that Give him a praise, but now I can.